Okay, would you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6? Okay, guys, let's pretend, okay? Pretend, not real, but pretend. We have a really, really good patriotic president of the United States with honesty and integrity. And we happen to have a personal cell phone of his. And that cell phone, he answers any time of the day. Especially our call. Because he loves us, he's close to us, he wants to take care of what we need. If we have a problem with the federal government, wouldn't that be silly and kind of dumb not to call him and ask for his help? And you know where I'm going with this, right? We have someone who is in the highest office of the universe. That's God. And he allows to call him any time, day or night, from any place, in any situation. His prayer connection coverage is far better than your cell phone coverage. There's no such a thing as a dead zone. And there's no such a thing as going into voicemail or dropping calls. He listened to our prayers instantly. Did you get that? He listened to our prayer instantly. He answered our prayer instantly. In three ways. Yes, no, and then the one we love, right? Wait. Even though we have this great direct line to our God, which we call prayer, in most cases, the majority of Christians do not know how to, do not understand what kinds of power we are tapping into. Somehow they think that it's, prayer, They stop there. The disciples of Jesus Christ saw their master Jesus even pray all night long to the Father in heaven. They noticed something that they did not have. That Jesus had a prayer life they've never seen, they've never experienced before. So they came to him and asked him. They didn't come to him to ask him to give them the how to cast the demons out of the demon-possessed people, or heal the sick, or how to preach, or how to expound the truth of God from Old Testament scriptures. But they came to him to ask him, teach us how to pray. It's that important. Listen to me, please. While the Word of God is the voice of God, prayer is our voice to Him who knows all things, who can do all things. Besides prayer, like many aspects of our Christian walk with Him, does not come to us naturally. Have you noticed that whenever you try to pray, everything wrong can happen, will happen. All the things that you could not remember, all of a sudden you can remember. The phone call you didn't want to answer, you get a phone call from Bisbee and, Sedona. Want to sell the New Age stuff. There are a few things we must know and understand about prayer. Who can teach us better than the one who lived the life of prayer, Son of God himself? Let's hear from him, from his mouth. We'll start at verse 9 of chapter 6, and we'll stop and what? Pray. Father, teach us, not because what we can get what we want, because we want what you want. We don't want some spell to bring up the solution. We don't want to twist your arm, or we don't want you to do our will. We want to do your will. We want to be like more like Jesus, less like understanding how to commune with the Father in heaven, that we may know your heart, engraving our heart that we may do. Father, we are praying for President Obama and all the leaders. Shake their heart. Don't give them peace. Surrender their lives. and also praying for our troops around this country, especially the one in harm's way. Protect them, Lord. We're lifting up the family of the fallen officer in faith. Father, minister to them through your people. Through this difficult time, they may be comforted. And now we're praying for all the police officers, law enforcement. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. And here is a well-known portion, Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Stop there. In this manner does not mean to pray using this very word, but pray in this way. People often reduce this prayer with the kinds of empty reciting phrase. As we already learned that's exactly what Jesus tells us not to do. You with me? Somehow they think that this Lord's Prayer has a special power. It does not have any special power. It's a great prayer. We cannot and should not use it as any sort of the magic spell to bring solution to every time. Somehow you think that, okay, this is really, really bad situation. Let's start recite the Lord's Prayer. No, that's not how you do it. Jesus showed us how he would have us address God, our Father. Listen to me, please. The word speaks a family relationship, a closeness, a respect, and accessibility of a parent. Additionally, he tells us how we are to envision the Father in heaven, literally. Jesus doesn't tell us to call him friend, as though we are equal with him. Or master, as though we are his slaves. Or king, as though we are his subject. Rather, our relationship with God is that of children to daddy. I love. See, when you go to Israel, or you meet Israeli people who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they don't dare to call God's name. They take out all the vowels. And if they have to write it in English, they write G space D. To them, that's a respectful way to do it. But to us, he is our Father in heaven. If you ask them, and if they are honest, they would like to have that kind of relationship. Hallowed be your name is a rather important thing we should know about. The word hallowed is coming from the Greek word hagizo. It means to separate from the profane things and dedicate to God, revered. Our God's character must be held in the highest respect, set apart from any other name that falls from our lips. Let's put this in our practical terms. If you are using God's name in vain, please stop now. I don't care in what kind of format you are using it. And you may say, well, I don't use God's name in vain. I don't cuss, okay? But do you say, oh my God, or Jiminy Christmas? You just simply replacing with a similar sound that some people call pseudo profanity. Stop it now. What you meant is the other one. The Lord's Prayer is composed of 6 requests. First 3 ask for the kingdom to come in verse 9 through 10. And the last 3 are for the God to meet the need of his disciples, his people, rather, until the kingdom arrives in verse 11 through 13. Would you go down to verse 10, please? Now we see his kingdom, his will. Your kingdom comes, the scripture says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Stop there, please. When we come to verse 10, we cross the border into the domain of his rulership. To request that his will be done is to submit to it and in our own lives. Can you say that word with me? Submit. You see, his name, his kingdom, his will. How quickly we pass over these thoughts in prayer, in our prayers. But how often we forget them all together. Because we are busy going into supplication, asking what we want. However, when we start our prayers by concentrating on God and His character, we get to have a right perspective. And when the right perspective is established, the authority is in putting the proper place. Whether we praise Him or not, He is who He is. Are you with me? Whether you believe God or not, God is God. If we have the earth full of atheists, and they all claim that, every single human being on earth claim that God is not true, does it mean that by majority vote, God is not God? He is God. He doesn't need us. Rather, we need Him desperately. Problem we have with our situation is we don't put Him in the right place in our heart. We get all jumbled up with the, you know, when you put together jigsaw puzzles, some of you are smart, so you just start from the middle. I'm not, so I start from the corner. Usually, I can follow the rest of them. The main piece in the jigsaw puzzle is that you got to have somewhere to start with. The right place to start your prayer, my prayer is knowing who God is. Not your opinion, not what other person said, but this Bible says. God is God. Somehow in their twisted mindset and theology, some Bible teachers and their followers have created God in the image of a divine bellhop. Prayer for those people is an ultimate in-room service without tipping. And everything is charged to this grandiose credit card with unlimited balance in heaven. Listen, prayer is not a shopping list that we hand it to our divine bellhop and say, get going, boy. I heard this particular Bible teacher said, don't tell God His will be done. Really? Are you better than what the Bible says? We don't get everything. Listen, here. We don't get everything we want. We pray to God. We don't get everything we pray to the Lord. And you may say, oh, that doesn't sound right. Let me put it this way. Since we had a new graduate, how would you like to give your credit card to the teenager, about 15-year-old? Okay, go have fun. Would you do that? Why not? And this is the young guy, oh yeah, that would be cool. They might buy something harmful for them. Not only that, they might make you end up in a bankruptcy court. When God answers our prayer with a no or wait, we tend to think that we didn't get the answers to our prayer. Although He answered it, we just didn't like what we remember what I said. God always answers our prayer. Yes? No? And what? Yeah, we don't like that, do we? Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. In this verse, emphasis shifts horizontally. Remember? First three was kingdom come. And now it's until kingdom come. And to our daily bread. Reference is a symbolic of necessity of life, not the luxuries. Keep your finger in Matthew chapter 6. Go to Philippians 4:19, our memory verse. You guys know this by heart. Philippians 4:19. In case you haven't memorized this, this is a must-memorize verse. Are you there yet? And my God shall supply all our luxuries, any demand, according to His riches in His glory. Right? What is that? Need. That means if you are asking for a car, you don't get Ferrari or Lamborghini. You might get Chevy Nova. Used one. With one cylinder missing. Psalm 37. By the way, the Philippians 4:19 is a promise to us, to His followers. That means He will keep. Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendant begging. Why? Because God takes care of. Sometimes some people go on hungry, but not to the point that they have to beg. Of course, some of us come up with a question to the Lord because of different treatment. We see one follower of Jesus Christ was blessed beyond measure. And some of you, you can barely make ends meet. You go from paycheck to paycheck, robbing the Peter to pay Paul. And you ask God, why? I do not have. But I know this for sure. Our God is faithful. We have a tendency to think that God has to meet our needs according to our way. This lies a big fraud, theological problem on our part, not His part. Remember this. Our God keeps His promise in His own way, in His own time. Because He is our sovereign God, not our lackey. So, I want you to turn around the person next to you, say, our God is not our lackey. Can you say, our God is not our lackey. Say it to yourself, our God is not our lackey. Remember that. He's a sovereign God. There's this old praise song. Tell God what you want. Remember that old song? Tell Him what you want. Obviously, it's not something we would sing here. Did you get that, Pastor Al? Verse 12. No, he'll never sing here. And forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtor. The transition from the bread to forgiveness in verse 12 sounds abrupt, but it is not. Because what bread is to our bodies, the forgiveness to our... The idea of asking God to forgive us is not that our forgiveness of others earns us the right to be forgiven. Forgiven people should be forgiving people. Let me say one more time. Forgiven people must be forgiving people. I don't know who offends you with what. You must forgive that person and treat that person with integrity, good attitude. And some people say, well, I forgive them, but I'm not going to look at that person. Get over it. If we exercise biblical principles, we would not have a church split. Do you know why we have so many? Because churches... They don't fight over, majority of cases, 99%, they are not fighting over theology. They are fighting over little tiny things. The difference in preferences. Okay, let's continue. There are sins of commission and sins of omission. We commit our sins because we do what we should not do. That's the sin of commission. And there are sin of omission. That is something we should do, but we do not do. If we choose not to forgive other people for their sins against us, we are committing a sin of omission. Are you with me? And you may say, well, I haven't killed that person. That's nice. If you did, you would be in the joint doing prison ministry. While we are on the subject of forgiveness, I must say this. Some Christians have come from the terrible past, whether it's a crime or drug, alcohol, sexual addiction, any of those, and you feel the blank. Listen carefully now. If you ask the Lord to forgive you from your sins with a broken and contrite heart, God has forgiven you. Did you get that? That means your slate is clean, white as wool, white as snow, as the Word of God says. However, if you think that God hasn't forgiven you for your past, how now you are committing other sins? Let me explain. Number one, what you're doing is like telling the Lord that He is a liar but not forgiving you when you ask Him with an earnest heart. Isaiah 59, please. And some people say, you don't know what I've done. And I don't know what you've done. I don't care what you to know what you've done. When I was involved in the prison ministry, I learned a lot of things, how depraved human beings. There was a time when I heard that some of their crime, it's like, you gotta be kidding me. How can you commit that kind of crime? Then later I realized they've done something I would do. They did outside what I did in God's eyes, same. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy, that it can. Is there any sin that God cannot forgive? Answer me.
No.
Is there any sin that God cannot forgive? That brings to the second thing. What you're doing is like telling the Lord that your sins are too much for Him to handle. Guess what that is? Pride. So if you think that God cannot forgive you, you're telling God is a liar, and you think that your sin is too big for Him to handle. Prideful attitude. Bad, bad situation. Don't go there. Verse 13. Do not lead us into temptation, and deliver us from the evil one. Refusing to forgive others can be a big temptation because of the hurt we experienced. Naturally, unforgiving heart will take us to be tempted in many other ways. To pray, do not lead us to temptation, seems to imply that if we don't pray, God will lead us into temptation. Thus, He become the one who solicits evil to us. He doesn't. However, the verb do not lead us is a permissive imperative in fancy way to say it, and should have been translated do not allow us to be led into temptation for a clear understanding. Are you with me? Again, go to James chapter 1, behind the book of Hebrews, before first. James chapter 1, verse 13, please. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God, what does it say? Cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. Is that clear enough for you? See, the heart of the petition then is asking God to rescue us from the one who lies in wait and hungering for our soul, the devil. True prayer is always offered knowing that how weak we are in ourselves and how much we need the power of God. The temptation is literally a test. Are you with me on that? The temptation is literally a test that is permitted by the Lord for our character training. Not always solicitation to. God has promised to keep us from any testing that is greater than what we can handle. I said this, I'm going to repeat it one more time. I don't care what kind of addiction you have. I don't care what kind of addiction you have. You cannot tell me that addiction was so strong that you could not walk away from it. Because God promised that He will not let you be under more than we can handle. And you may say, well, show me. I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Yes, we went this thing many times. Probably will go through many more times. I'll prove it to you. Let's start with this first word. No temptation. Did you get that? No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to what? First, there's no temptation is too much for you. And even if there is a remotely resemble to the too much temptation, God give you the hatch you can escape. How wonderful God we have. And you tell me, well, there was so much temptation. Come up with a better excuse than that. You don't have it. I don't have it. Last half of the verse. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, we must be reminding ourselves and submitting to the complete authority of God. Granted, many biblical scholars said that this portion was added later. I'm not that smart, so I'm not going to argue with them. Let's sum up the Lord's Prayer, or we should we say disciples' prayer, the model of the prayer in this format. Adoration. First one is adoration. Praise and worship the Lord our God. Second step, confession. Acknowledging our sins before. Third step, thanksgiving. Thank Him for what He is doing in our lives. And you may say, well, I'm in such a deep trouble. How can I thank Him? First, you have a life. You're still alive. And you may think that it's the end of the tunnel. And the light, the other side, is an oncoming train. It's not. With God, all things are possible. Last one, supplication. We have a tendency to put this thing way before everything else, right? Make our request known to Him. All right, let's finish in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Why did Jesus come back to this subject again? Maybe He knows our heart too much. We have a tendency to hold a grudge, and that God tells us to don't bury the hatch, just throw away the hatch, and say, no, I'm going to grind that hatch, or axe, whatever you want to call it. See, it doesn't work that way. Two factors are necessary to make a transaction. This transaction, first, the bedrock of God's grace to us. Second, and transfer that same grace to others. If we are forgiven, we need to forgive others. Forgiveness essentially means providing others with the same forgiveness we received from them. Let me say one more time. Forgiveness essentially means forgiving others with the same forgiveness we receive from the Father. I have been forgiven by God so many times, so much. Why shouldn't I forgive? Do I know some people who hurt me badly? Yes. If I grind the axe against that person, who's going to get hurt? That person? Because I'm the one who gets bitter. Especially when the other person is doing just fine, I get madder than before. Am I correct? Previously, I said that prayer itself changed nothing. However, prayer does change one thing. My heart. If I do it properly. When you and I pray, we get changed. This is one of the major reasons that prayer is such a great way to fight back against anxiety. The true reason for our prayer is to align, say with me, align our heart with God's heart, so that we may do His will, not ours. Are you with me on that? Prayer is not what getting what you want, aligning ourselves with God's way. When people tell me, all I can do is pray, I literally cringe. They put the prayer at the bottom of their effort. I've done all of this, and they, I have nothing I can do except pray. Do me a favor, remove that sentence, and also remove the sentence, good luck to the other, saying to other person. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, what the luck got to do with you? Remove that and don't say, all I have is praying. No, that should be the foremost important. Are you with me? A great pastor, author of Yesterday, whom I dearly respect, Dr. Donald Barnhouse, often closes his church service with this prayer. If you think I'm blunt, okay, you haven't seen, I haven't heard the Dr. Donald Barnhouse teaching. He said, Lord, dismiss us with your peace, except for those who don't know you. Keep them miserable until they come to know the Prince of Peace. The Father listens to our prayers because our relationship with Him. In other words, when an unbeliever who does not have that father and son relationship prayers and prays, the Father in heaven does not listen to, with the exception of one type of prayer, sinner's prayer. When that person prays for Jesus Christ into his heart, he listens. And after that, when that person is a child of God, God the Father is all. So if you are not a believer of Jesus Christ, what you've been doing so far is nothing more than the few words out of your mouth. Does not go anywhere. It does not reach to the throne of grace. And you may say, that's not fair. Let me put it this way. I have two grandsons. Have I told you that I have two grandsons? If my grandson Micah tells me, Papa, I need this, I want this, if I can afford it, I say, okay. But if some kid whom I don't know and say, hey, I want this. Well, go talk to your papa. You're not mine. It's a kind of brutal way to explain this. When you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you're not a child of God. Contrary to the many unbelievers' opinion, not all people are children of God. They are creation of God, not children of God. Only way you can be a children of God is through Jesus. Four applications. Number one, God's kingdom in our lives should be our foremost concern. We cannot say your kingdom comes until we let our own selfish kingdom go. Second application, it is Jesus who prompts us to pray. It's been said, His promise prompts me to pray. His examples incite me to pray. His warning urges me to pray. His glory stirs me. Third application, prayer should not be done to impress those around us, but plea to us. We should not have that kind of carnal mindset. I want to use this fancy theological flowery word to impress those who are around us. No. Let it be honest plea to the Father in heaven. Simple, childlike prayer. Fourth application. Forgiveness of others is not an option for Christian. It's a mandatory. Say it with me. Mandatory. Let me say one simpler way. Forgive other people as much as you want to be forgiven by God. Is that clear enough for you?